For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Everybody, welcome in Mason Rudolph, man.
Thank you, Moni. Right. Thank
it's
you,
all good. I know you don't do these often. I know, of course, the way this season has gone in your career in general. It's been a lot, and you just getting back to a little bit of normal off-season stuff, man. So I appreciate you taking the time for that. And also, since you all are here, like, subscribe, share it to a friend, do all those things you got to do. Yes, like, subscribe, share, all of it. Even Mason said it. I bragged on you yesterday too. You know what I said?
What did you say?
I was late. He told me, and you was in the group chat with me.
Of course he was. Of course he was late.
How long did he tell me he was going to be? About how late was he going to be?
5 minutes, and it turned into 15, 20?
20.
I don't know. 20.
20.
Typical lineman. Typical lineman. Late.
Wow, Mason.
I'm just kidding. More typical. Sorry. We should say typical Al behavior. Not necessarily painting with too broad of a brush.
That's what I'm saying, man. And then here you are. A couple minutes late, and I told you guys, hey, this works off Chrome. And he was like, I'll be good. And then right as we're about to start, what did the smart quarterback say to me in a text?
He said, hey, don't worry, I'll be on time. Chrome will be installed. But in my defense, I actually didn't take the full five. I took about 2 minutes of the buffer. So here we are.
here we go. Man, by the way, I was going to ask you that question. How was COVID? I don't know if I even asked Alejandro about that, yeah. Man.
Yeah, it was crazy. What we enjoyed about it was training camp at Heinz Field at that point. It was still Heinz Field. So, I mean, the hours were better. You had this real long break for lunch. I think there was two locker rooms. I think Minka was like in the visiting team locker room because he refused to get the jab. Tip of the cap, Minka. And so it was literally like everyone, and then he was across the hall. We're like, hey, Minka, you still on the team? It was nice being in Heinz Field, but you're testing every day.
Yeah.
I think 2021 you were testing like once a week, but 2020 you're testing every day. Even on the bye week, you couldn't leave town because you had to test. There was a $50,000 fine if you didn't test each day, if you missed your daily test. So it's crazy.
No way, dude. That would have made me want to retire sooner. I'll be honest with you. Like, I know a lot of people made a fuss like, Marquise, you should come back. After hearing that, I don't think anybody that was on the verge of retiring would have wanted to come back, Mason.
No, it was made us wear masks. Pretty much everywhere at the facility, at practice, they installed these fiberglass like face masks to go on your face mask, like that was gonna prevent anything. You're like, you're already showering with dudes, and then you're like, okay, for the field, we're gonna just put this on now, and that's gonna really stop COVID. So I don't want to make this a
Yeah, we're moving. I needed to know, man. That was insane right there, yeah, dog. But Mason, here we go, man. From Rock Hill, South Carolina, man. You guys put out a ton of athletes. I played with a few guys. One in particular I remember off top, Jonathan Hefney. He was a DB that came out of that area, man. How was it in that area? Because I have a follow-up question to you. It's like, I don't understand, but how was it coming out of Rock Hill?
Yeah, it was what a great town to grow up in, and just great, rich football history. I think a friend of mine, Chris Lowe, is an ESPN reporter, writer.
Oh, he comes on the station here in Nashville. He's going on my brother's show today.
Is he really? Okay.
Yeah, CeeLo broke the Alabama story too.
That's right. And he's boys with Saban. I think that's why he got that. Okay. He got that before anybody else. But he coined it Football City USA, because I think if you look at first-round picks per capita, meaning like the size of Rock Hill, which is only like 65,000-70,000 you know, population-wise, it's put out an enormous amount, a rate of first-round picks, and then just drafted players more than any other town. So, yeah, I mean, I was like a freshman in high school when Clowney was playing, Cordero Patterson. I got to watch him. You know, then you had Jonathan Joseph a little older, Ben Watson a little older. Ben Watson, same high school. You know Ben.
Yeah, I do know Ben.
And then Derek Ross, an older head. You know, I'm probably missing some people, but yeah, Stephon Gilmore. I didn't mention him. He was a South Point. He played quarterback in high school. Was it
Stephon Gilmore played quarterback?
Played quarterback at South Point High School, crosstown rival. He was incredible. So yeah, it's a great place to play football. Good culture.
And there's a lot of talent that comes out of the state in general, too. I honestly didn't know where you're from. I was actually thinking Florida. But if you look at South Carolina, though, it has just as much of sunshine as Florida. And the only reason I bring that up is, Mason, you tan so dark in the summertime. I'm like, dude, what? I didn't know where you were. I didn't know what your ethnicity or nationality was. I was just like, golly, this dude is dark in the summertime.
Yeah, that's what Latrobe will do. That long walk of that hill, that'll get you tan. You know, my goodness. Yeah, no, I no Italian or Native American blood in
me.
That's
what I thought.
I think that, but I'm just boring old Scott Irish and German.
By the way, I'm 17% Irish. By the way, so we're somewhere related. Just so you know.
We were closer. I knew we were blood related. I didn't know until today.
See what I'm saying? The only reason I bring up Rock Hill, South Carolina, dude, I looked up your high school stuff just real quick, just to get a little bit. And you threw for over 10,000 yards in high school, which is insane. But in particular, your senior year, y'all listen to this stat line, and I think it just leads to the fact that you've always been a ball player. You've always been a thrower, right? You've always been a passer, making plays. You threw over 4,400 yards or over that. And here's the part that really got me. You threw for 80 touchdowns.
Yeah, well, I think I threw for some 60, and I had some rushing, if you can believe that. I know rushing touchdowns, that's probably shocking you, but yeah, I think the total number was 80.
It was 80. But you didn't win Mr. Football. Mason, who in the heck won Mr. Football?
No, so there was a great player at the time, and named Jacob Park, who was a quarterback committed to Georgia.
What?
And he, you know, he had the SEC, you know, attention. He was committed to
absolutely,
I guess you could say, more of a powerhouse at the time. And we actually played each other in the state championship game. We won. We kind of we beat them. And then the following week was the announcement of who won that award. And it was him. So, you know, I'm not losing sleep over that these days. No. But at the time, I was kind of like, well, hold on. And we beat their team, but it's out of your hands. And he's a good person, and he was a good player. So
you're being far too kind, because I'm thinking of myself. You won state. Y'all had a 15-0 season, and you contributed 80 touchdowns in one season. That, to me, would scar me. I'd be upset, but I know, like you said, I don't even know who dude is, respectfully. But that is fascinating. It just blew my mind that you didn't win Mr. Football, but –
yeah, well, I've been blessed in other areas, so I'm not gonna. But yeah, it would have been nice, I guess. Would have been nice.
It would have, man. Moving on to college, just real quick, too. If not Oklahoma State, which is where you and James Washington, also drafted to Pittsburgh, went to college at. If not there, where?
I was LSU was my first offer. The Mad Hatter, Mr. Miles, Coach Miles was my first phone call, first scholarship offer. So I was pretty set on going there for the duration of recruitment. And then, as a lot, many times these things happen, you know, the team starts to get cold feet, or there's another guy that maybe they're recruiting harder, or they wanted to take two quarterbacks in the same class. And, so all those things kind of happened, and I felt like I was kind of getting hey, we, you know, the, we like you, but we don't love you anymore. Yeah,
you felt that.
I did. And the Oklahoma State was full bore, very much. You're the guy in the class. You're going to play early. And then I liked that the head coach had played quarterback there. I felt like that was going to be, an advantage to me and my growth, that this guy's been through it at the same, very same school that I'm about to go into. So it all worked out well. But yeah, that was probably the alternative.
Yeah, for sure. But it worked out well, like you said. It ended up being a high draft pick, and the rest is history. You threw for a ton of yards in college, too. Was James primarily your number one target for the most part of your career?
Yeah, he was the number one guy for sure. Great player.
Great player for sure, man. Yeah. Super cool dude, too, man. He's wearing cowboy hats and doing his thing now.
I think he's at his ranch in Dallas now, and he's into the farming thing. And he's selling horses, raising horses, breaking horses, and yeah, he's got the, like you said, the cowboy hat, the belt buckle, the Wranglers pleated with the boots. I mean, he's the full John Dutton mode.
That's insane, man. Yeah. But the career ends there, and it's fascinating. I never forget when you guys got drafted. You, Chooks, who else was in that class? Was Deontay?
Terrell Edmonds. Deontay was a year later. Chooks, me, James, Deontay. Sorry, Chooks, me, Terrell, James, Marcus Allen, who's, one of my favorite, former teammates. Great, great energy provider. Hilarious. Jalen Samuels.
Yeah.
That was about it. Yeah.
Jalen, I never forget Jalen, though, man. The uniqueness of him and the Wildcat when we beat the Patriots at home.
Yeah.
I don't know. You remember that, man? I couldn't believe it.
A ton of touches.
Crazy, man. Insane, dude. But moving on from college, man, the story around you was Big Arm, of course. Kev was somewhat quoted as saying had a first-round grade on you. You know what? They said they had a fourth-round grade on me too, okay, Mason? So take it for what it is, right?
Exactly.
But your career and going into Pittsburgh, what was that all about as far as knowing that you were going to be behind seven? I think the perception was we're planning. How did you approach coming to Pittsburgh under those circumstances?
Yeah, I was excited. I think none of us know where we're going to fall kind of in the draft. And I knew it was quite a.
You see who's on the comments right here?
I saw a YouTube thing, but I haven't seen it.
It's Al.
I know. He's got
You have not been blessed in other areas. What is wrong with dude?
He's probably harvested all the jackfruit and the tomatoes from his garden, and he's a little bored now, killing some time.
He don't want to go home to the kids. He
no,
does not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Big family man, but loves his family. We're not saying you don't love your family, Al, but you do love your garden.
You do. You love being out of the house, man. But go ahead. My bad. I didn't mean to interrupt you. He's just a fool.
Yes, he is. We were talking. How what it felt like to get drafted. I was excited. I mean, you get drafted to, what a historically successful franchise that's got, tied with the Patriots with Super Bowls. I don't think at that time they still hadn't. I think they were probably still behind us, and they won one in like 18 or 19. But regardless, the Rooneys, Mike Tomlin. I was thrilled, and I knew that I obviously wouldn't. I'd be in the backup role, learning from an older player, quarterback, and I was going to just do my best to soak up what I could. But, it was a joy those first few years getting to know you and that grisly group of mafia members of the offensive line. And, I just don't think many players get to come in and experience that kind of just a very intense offensive line group. I mean, I think that more than anything that molds you, and there's kind of a rite of passage. I mean, I felt like that way when you get to work with you guys, I always wanted to prove myself to probably the offensive line more than any other position group. And
did you really?
Absolutely.
Why? Absolutely. You say that, but why that? Because I'll be honest with you, any other quarterback coming in, I think we somewhat to put them through the rigors a little bit. And I know Pounce can be a hard ass. And we all were somewhat pricks, but we did it our own type of way, though. One of the things we used to get with you was, hey, lower your voice in the huddle. But that was just you. you remember that?
Yeah. It's like the last thing you want to hear is, you know, speak up. You're too quiet. So I'm going in there. You know, I think you guys used to call me like Bruce Wayne or Batman because I thought it was too deep. Yeah. Like I can't win. I mean, it's one thing if I was like wait, but you know, I'm being too deep. That's really what we're gonna be critical of. So I can stick with that one.
No doubt, man. But you mentioned why our group, man, and Al somewhat said a little bit yesterday. It was everybody, man, that led to our success, right? And that we had as a team, man. Was it intimidating stepping into it? How did you approach it when it was your time? Let's go to 2019 real quick. That when it's your show after how training camp went, being towards UCL, I think in week one, when it was your huddle at that point, your locker room at that point.
I mean, I think in your line, if you say your first couple starts, you're not a bit nervous. I mean, I was nervous this past year. I mean, I think if you're not nervous, you're either lying or you don't have a pulse, and it's probably time to retire. So, absolutely, was I, you know, I think nervous and excited all at the same time. And I think it was a Seattle game when I got thrust in there, and we really had a chance to win. We put ourselves in a good position, and I think it was an OPI or a defensive pass interference. Russell throws the ball up near midfield, and they which extends their drive on like a third and extra long. So, yeah, it was, you know, but I think absolutely when you're going in there with a group that's protected a Hall of Fame quarterback and so many veteran. I mean, I think you were in like 7 or 8 or 9, and Pouncey was in, you know, 7 or 8, and Al's in 6 or 7, and Dick Dave's in 6 or 7. I mean, it was just a lot of experience, and there was a sense of, yeah, I wanted to do my best and lead you guys so we can, you know, do the celebrate, you know, and smash each other's face masks into one another and hug and all those kinds of things.
Yeah. I have to ask you from that moment right there in 19 to this year, before we get there, I want to show you something real quick from that guy, Alejandro Villanueva Martin. Okay. That pretty much said this. Okay. Let me cue it up. The screen's going to go away real quick. You ready? You have somehow taken credit for Mason's reemergence. Mason 100%. No, 100%. See, this is the thing right here, Al. You always do this.
I'm him.
No, you're not him. Okay, you used to be. Now you're just you. Okay, you're not him anymore. Okay, where's Marquise? When you see what I'm saying? Like you need humbling. Like no.
Mason was part of the Breakfast Club, which is your
he was. So that right there, man, him saying one, he made you. I thought that was a great chuckle right there from Alejandro, yeah. Man. Yeah. He took a lot of credit, man. But how did we get here? He mentioned our Breakfast Club on how we used to come together in the mornings, man. Did over this last year, those last 3-4 games, 6 weeks of the season, when the conversation started to buzz a little bit more, where is Mason? Why isn't Mason in? Did those moments of you growing up around us, the hardships that you had, the experiences that you also had also, and the people that you were with somewhat groom you for this latter part of the season for you to where your name is really hot, Mason?
I think the answer is yes. I'm, you know, I think there's not many quarterbacks that number one get to learn and watch a Hall of Famer work at their very same position. And then there's just, I mean, I think when I came into the league and our team, I just figured, oh, this is what the O-line is always going to be like, this, you know, constantly competitive, you know, argumentative, the Breakfast Club, you know, the political controversy arguments and one side, you know, Marquise versus Al versus Dave versus you. It was a great example of what, you know, what a true pros pro position group was to me, I think, and for a lot of the younger players. And it was invaluable. I mean, I loved, you know, and I was telling my mom this the other day. I was kind of like, you know, she was like, I was like, oh, trust me, Ramon and Al, we weren't friends my first couple of years. You know, they had their own clique, and it was a rite of passage. You had to kind of prove yourself to kind of be accepted at that table of breakfast. You didn't just go sit down at that table. That was like Al Capone and, you know, Frank Sinatra and the Rat Pack. It was, you kind of had to earn that. And so it was fun playing with you and some great memories, a lot of ups and downs, but yeah. Yes, I would say yes.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.